is the greatest gift you've ever been given? Might think about that a moment. We've probably been given a lot of things in our lives. What is the greatest gift, though? I think most of us, if we thought for a moment, we would agree that forgiveness, the gift of God's Son, is the greatest gift that we've ever been given. And for us as Christians, as we live our lives from day to day, thinking about what we have been given by grace, what we have, so God is so full of mercy and kindness to forgive us through Christ, we certainly are blessed. But even with that said, do you ever feel like, at times, that you just can't make it to heaven? Maybe it's because of the sermons you hear. Maybe the Bible classes you hear. That it sounds so hard. It sounds so difficult that we just can't live up to that. We just cannot do that. Maybe it's because we just don't live the way we ought to live. And we've tried. And we've tried. And we've tried. But we keep failing. In the book of Psalms, chapter 32... we find one of the great passages of Scripture that talks about this great forgiveness. And David says, "How blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. How blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent about my sin, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night, thy hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was drained away as with the fever heat of summer. I acknowledged my sin to thee, and my iniquity I did not hide. And I said, I will confess my transgression to the Lord. And thou dost forgive the guilt of my sin." I'd like for us this morning to think about very seriously about the great blessing of forgiveness. When we think about the cross, when we think about what Jesus did for us, there is something we must never forget. God loves us. And He will forgive us. But we must learn to forgive ourselves. And that involves faith and trust in Him. So this morning, as we study from God's Word, I would like for us to think about this precious gift that we've been given. And as we think about what God will do, whoever you are here today, there are those that will be listening on the internet later. Whoever you are, please understand that God will forgive you. And God offers that forgiveness, and it is a great blessing. When you stop to consider that God wants to forgive us, that's not always the case when we do somebody wrong. Many times people don't want to forgive us. All they want is vengeance, or all they want is hate. But God has love and He wants to forgive us. And He will forgive us. It's not something that sometimes people offer to us and then they don't follow through. But God will follow through. He has demonstrated His love and His forgiveness throughout all time. And whoever you are, it is a devil's lie for you to believe that you can't be forgiven. It is a devil's lie that you can't be saved and go to heaven. It is a devil's lie. When we become so discouraged and so convinced that we just possibly cannot be forgiven of God and be saved. He'll forgive any and all sin. And again, it is a devil's lie that would even begin to suggest to us that what I've done, God just can't forgive that. This heinous crime and sin that I've committed, God just will not forgive that kind of thing. That is a devil's lie. If you do the best, you do the absolute best you can to obey God's will, God's grace, His mercy, and His love will allow each of us to be able to be saved. This morning, I want us to think about the great blessing that we have of forgiveness. But it's important for us to understand that maybe we don't consider how great a blessing forgiveness is because we don't stop and think often enough how terrible sin is. When we truly understand the consequences, how God feels about sin, we don't really have an appreciation for forgiveness. When Adam and Eve sinned, we've talked about this a lot of times. But I think it's important for us to recognize that when Adam and Eve sinned against God, according to the text, they ate a piece of fruit. And I think as human beings, we could say, that doesn't seem like that big a deal. But to God, it was a big deal. Because He had commanded them not to eat it, and they ate of the fruit. So God cast them out of the garden. They began to die physically that day. They died spiritually that day. They were separated from God. Adam had to work the land by the sweat of his brow with thorns and thistles. Eve, she had to bear children in pain. There were many consequences to just eating a piece of fruit. And our human reasoning would suggest, again, it wasn't that big a deal. But that's where we try to make God in our image and in our concept, rather than our trying to conform ourselves to His image and His way. Lot's wife, she looked back. It wasn't that big a deal, right? I mean, she just took a quick peek. But God said, don't look back. Moses and Aaron, they disobeyed God in retrieving water for the people. It seemed a trivial thing that Moses struck the rock. After all, Moses had been through such a terrible ordeal being leader of this great people. But yet, they were so unthankful. They were so ungrateful. They could not be satisfied. And God was delivering them from bondage. He was going to provide for them everything that they needed. And yet that wasn't good enough. So Moses had all he could take. And he rebelled against God. Maybe Moses didn't even realize at the time that he was rebelling against God. He was angry with the people. But he disrespected God in front of the people. And God wouldn't let him go into the promised land. When Uzzah touched the ark, God said, don't touch it. Ananias and Sapphira. It was their money. But they lied to God about what they were giving. They fooled the people, but not God. There are a plethora of illustrations in Scripture. And here's the bottom line. Everybody sins. We all fall short of the glory of God. There's not a one of us that can stand up and say, I've never sinned. When we have reached the age of knowing right and wrong, maybe we're even aware of the fact that we've sinned, that we've done wrong. But maybe we don't consider the seriousness of that. If God, with Adam and Eve, would cast them from the garden and all those consequences because they ate a piece of fruit, Lot's wife, she looked back. There may have been some really legitimate reasons why she looked back. Friends, her possessions, loved ones. But God said, don't look back. And whether you're talking about Moses, you're talking about Uzzah, you're talking about Ananias and Sapphira, whatever the reasons, God says, sin is a horrible thing. And brother and sister in Christ, and friend, you only have to commit one. For you young people, you need to understand that. Once you have disobeyed God and you have sinned against God in any way, you are no longer safe. We talk about children who are innocent, who are pure. They're not saved. They're safe. Because they've never committed a wrong to fall away from God. They're safe. But soon in our lives, we lose that innocence. We lose that purity. And maybe that lie you told, you don't think that that's such a big deal? Remember Ananias and Sapphira. And maybe, young folks, because you have rebelled against your parents or you have told them no and you have acted ugly to them, that that's not any kind of significant thing before God, then think about Moses and Aaron. God does not tolerate rebellion. He does not tolerate in any shape, form, or fashion because of His holiness and His greatness. In Him is no darkness at all. I'm afraid there are too many people who look at their own sins as insignificant. It's a little mishap. Oh, it was a little bit... Well, it wasn't that bad. It was just a little lie. God does not categorize sin that way. So, we could spend a lot of time talking about many other examples to demonstrate one simple fact. Sin brings about death. Notice that Romans 6 does not say sins, plural. Sin brings about death. So all of us here, if you've ever sinned at least one time, that sin unforgiven brings death. Now how much do we appreciate forgiveness? But even though we sin, God still wants to forgive us. Remember this great passage? The Lord is not slow about His promise, as some count slowness, but He is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. I don't know why people don't obey the gospel when they should obey the gospel. Stubborn? Don't know enough? I don't know. But if you would ever stop just for a moment and ask yourself this simple question, have I ever committed even one sin? Then you're lost. And God offers to you patiently forgiveness. Paul said to Timothy that God wants everybody to be saved. Evangelists, their work is to teach the lost and to teach the saved to remain saved. Whoever you are, you can be forgiven. You may consider yourself a wallflower. You may consider yourself an insignificant. You may consider yourself to be a nobody. But there is something important here. God knows who you are. I most certainly understand, the Apostle Peter learned, God is not one to show partiality. If I was to ask you this simple question, do you think God knows who I am? That's not arrogance. That's not pride. But would you not say He knows who I am? Would you say that God does not know who you are? He knows all of us. He made all the stars, the billions of stars. And the text says He's given them all names. I have three grandsons. And I would think by now, my oldest is 8, that I would be able to call them by their right name when I want to talk to them. And I usually have to go through all three names to finally get to the right one of who I'm trying to talk to. Especially if you're kind of in one of those moments and they're doing something they shouldn't. You'll say, Jackson? And it just happens. We're people, it happens. God knows us personally. Mr. B.B. Blakely right there. God knows you. Billy Wallen. God knows you. Ray Williams. God knows who you are. Ashley. God knows you. Now that's a great blessing when we're doing right. But Michael, when you do wrong, God knows who you are too. And He shows no partiality. If God would keep Moses from going to the promised land, would He keep me from going to the promised land? There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither slave or free man. There's neither male nor female. You're all one in Christ Jesus. To God, each of us are important. Steve, you're important back there. Ethan, you're important to God. And it's important that we understand that whoever you are, God wants to forgive you. And I would hope that we would understand as we think about that, that Jesus taught that all nations will be taught the gospel. Every creature is to be taught the gospel because God cares about each and every person. So having said that, you can be forgiven of any and all sins. You can be forgiven. That's what God wants. Jesus died for all sins. Saul of Tarsus is a great example that he himself talks about him being the chief of sinners. And he simply says, if God can forgive me, a blasphemer, and through my ignorance, as an example of God's forgiveness, He'll forgive the rest of us. God not only forgives us, He also forgets it ever happened. Remember the passage we read today in our Bible class in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12? Jeremiah's prophecy, and their sins will I remember no more. If Ray Tucker sins against me, I hope that I would have the faith and the love to forgive him. But like most of us, if we consider it to be a bad sin, we may forgive them, but we ain't never going to forget it. But we have the blessing of forgiveness from God that He remembers it against us no more. I need that. My guess is you need that too. And God does help us forgive ourselves. If you'll turn in your Bibles this morning to the book of Matthew, chapter 11. We refer to this passage a number of times, but maybe we don't stop to really give it more consideration enough. In Matthew 11, verse 28, our Lord says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Jesus is appealing to those who are lost in sin. And one of the characteristics of sin is that it weighs us down, it weights us down, and we may not even realize how sin is affecting us. You see, God gives you a conscience. And when you know you've done wrong, you can tell yourself enough times that it's okay and it's not a big deal, and you'll eventually get to a point to where it's not a big deal to you. I think there's lots of young people that have convinced themselves, either their parents have told them this, or others have told them this, or they've just dreamed it up on their own, that their sin is not a big deal. Don't worry about it. Until we don't worry about it enough, we don't worry about sin, period. And we train our consciences to be okay with sinning. As adults, we do that. We keep doing something wrong enough times, it just doesn't bother us to do that wrong anymore. We become immune. We become hard-hearted. Our hearts become carterized. That is, hardened. It's insensitive. But Jesus says, "Come to me, you that are weary and heavy laden." That means while you still have a good conscience. If you're sitting here this morning, whether you've never obeyed the gospel or you're a child of God, and you do not feel good about yourself, about how you've been living and what you've been doing, Jesus says, "Come to me." Now let's just if in for a moment. Instead of me up here this morning, Jesus Christ is here, literally. And every time, even for me, when I look around the audience and I look into your eyes, some of you continue to look and some of you look away. But think about the Lord looking at you, knowing your heart. And He says to you, come to me. Is that a suggestion? Or is that a command? And if you sit there and you don't come, what do you call that? Rebellion. And that's a sin. Jesus loves you and He wants to heal you and forgive you. But if He says come and you don't come, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. He's asking you to take upon each of us the responsibility for who we are and what He is. You can sit there and you can completely cast that from your thoughts. But God says, I want you to step up and take the yoke upon you. Take responsibility for what you've done, how you've been living. Come to me, and you'll find that I'm gentle. He's not going to, when you come to Him, He's not going to slap you. He's not going to kick you. He's not going to talk ugly to you. He says, when you come to me, taking that yoke upon you, realizing your responsibility, you're going to find out how gentle I am and how meek I am. What does that mean? He's going to love you and forgive you. I think some people don't obey the gospel or don't come forward and make confession of sin in their lives because they're afraid to go before people. They're afraid to let the cat out of the bag. They're afraid of the intimidation factor. They're afraid of being embarrassed. Take His yoke upon you. Take responsibility for who you are. And what you're going to find is that Christ is going to love you and He's going to be gentle and He is going to forgive you. He says in verse 30, for my yoke is easy and my load is light. Oh, I can't go up before this church. I can't go before the preacher and say anything. Then you don't understand how terrible sin is. And you don't appreciate how great forgiveness is. That's it. Because if you understood how terrible sin is and you're offered forgiveness and the Lord says come, you would come up before the sermon is done. You would come up and sit on the front row and you would say, I'm a sinner. I want God to forgive me. Please give me forgiveness. You can go to heaven. Whatever you may be thinking, whatever reasons, whatever excuses, whatever attitude you might have, you can go to heaven. But it's conditional. If you obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. You remember in the 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 passage when Jesus Christ comes with His mighty angels taking vengeance upon those who do not know God and who have not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. Just think for a moment, folks that have not become Christians. You know you've done wrong. You've committed more than one sin in your life. And the Lord is going to come back. What is He going to say to you? I'll give you 5 more minutes to get baptized. When the Lord comes back, time is over. My 10th grade Bible class, they freak out when I give them a test. And at the end of class, time's up. Well, but we're not done, Mr. Salee. I said, when you know the material, you got plenty of time. When you don't know the material, you can't have enough time to pass this test. Well, they don't like that. They think I'm cruel. What do you think? Please, what do you think? Those of you who have never become a Christian, what do you think God is going to do when He comes again and you still have not obeyed the gospel? You're going to hell. Do you understand that? Because time is up. And for those of us who are Christians and we keep putting it off, we keep putting off making a confession or changing our lives and doing what we ought to do. I'm going to start doing better next week. And the Lord comes and we haven't done better. What do you think He's going to say? I think most of us think because we come to the Church of Christ at Anderson, we're going to be just fine. He's not going to judge the Church of Christ. He's going to judge individuals. But understand this. That's the bad news. The good news is, through His grace, you can be saved today. If you will become a Christian. And if you do the best to remain faithful the rest of your life. There's not anybody in here that can do it perfectly. There's not anyone in here that is perfect, even having been baptized into Christ. We still have challenges. We still fall short. But we got to keep getting back up and trying. Doing the best that we can. And that cross gives us hope. That cross says, I love you. And how many times do we need to be told that God loves us? Probably more than I ever say. Probably a lot more than we ever hear. But God loves us. But He is not going to put up with rebellion. And He's not going to put up with laziness. And He is not going to put up with any of them that reject His word. So if I'm not going to heaven, if you're not going to heaven, it's because we don't want to. Do you want to go to heaven this morning? Do you? Then live like it. Act like it. Be thankful for the forgiveness that Christ so graciously offers. Live your life appreciative for that forgiveness. I have no right to be who I am and what I do. I don't have any special credentials. It doesn't make any difference what school I went to, who my parents were. But because of His grace, I am who I am. I'm forgiven. And I have hope. Do you? Please don't let the devil deceive you and steal from you the greatest gift that has ever been given. Do not leave this building without receiving that great blessing of forgiveness. Do you need the prayers of the church? When you consider how terrible sin is and how great forgiveness is, coming up before this church will be insignificant. If you need to be baptized into Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter if one person is here or 5,000. You will get in that water
and be baptized into Christ and have your sins washed away because Jesus said, do it. Can we help you? Can we encourage you and be? Won't you come, sisters?
God calling you to shout.